Lord exhorts us in his word, seek ye my face. And our joyful response is with the psalmist, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And as we draw near to him, might he fulfill his promise and draw nigh unto us. We very particularly welcome our brother Puyan Mashahi and his family. Our brother Puyan is ministering God's word to us over this weekend. Just to give a little bit of background, if you don't know him, Puyan is minister of Providence Chapel in Cheltenham, having formerly been at Bible College in Northern Ireland. And I first met him once when I was on holiday over there, when I was staying with the Clark family. The Clarks are also here today, so I'm grateful to them for having forged the link in the first place. Puyan has been a great encouragement to me over the past years. If I might be so bold as to call myself a young Christian, then I might also go on to say that as a young Christian, one can almost feel alone in one's generation, such is the decline and departure of these days. So just to know of Puyan's existence and the standard which he's maintaining at Cheltenham has been of great personal comfort and a stimulus too. So we thank our brother for being prepared to come and to preach this weekend. Perhaps we'll now quiet our hearts and our minds as we pray to the Lord together. Let us pray. Sovereign and almighty Lord God, we thank thee for who and what thou art. We thank thee that continually we receive great and good gifts from thy hand. We do thank thee for answered prayer already in this afternoon's service, and for thy word that was preached, and for fellowship that we have enjoyed with one another. Lord, we ask that thou wilt grant travelling mercies to those who go their separate ways. We pray that as we remain and give further attendance to thy word, that it might be laden with the power of the Holy Spirit and applied to every heart. Be pleased, Lord, we pray, to convict the sinner and edify the saint and get glory to thy name, as we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing together now in our opening hymn, which is number 147. The hymn 147, which, speaking of Christ, says, O thou, my soul, forget no more thy friend who all thy misery bore. Let every idol be forgot, but, O my soul, forget him not. Number 147.
Forget him, Lord, the friend of
Now, some of you, those who receive the Link magazine, might know that we've recently changed our printer. The gentleman who's printed all the church's literature for nearly 20 years recently retired. And I might just in passing ask you to remember that man in prayer. He's not a believer. He's handled hundreds of thousands of pieces of Christian literature from this church over the years. And we do pray that some of it might have found a resting place and might have some effect. But we bought him a Bible as a sort of retirement gift from the church. And in the flyleaf of that Bible, I wrote a verse which I believed was appropriate for all the work he had done. It was, of course, Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. That verse, which has been laid much upon my heart of late, which we considered this afternoon, I just bring to your attention again. We've already thought of the significance of that opening clause, the fact that the Lord gave the word, the fact that its origin is with him, the fact that the giving of it is a testament to his grace. But how about this next clause? Great was the company of those that published it. There is perhaps no greater work upon earth than the proclamation and the dissemination of the Word of God. And in order that we should not lose sight of the fact, the psalmist stresses that it is a great work indeed. It takes various forms. Some of you may know that our brother Puyan is Iranian and speaks the Farsi language and is involved with the Trinitarian Bible Society in translating the scriptures into Farsi, the language of Iran. Pray for that work, my friends. It's a vital work. There are believers in that land. We have brethren and sisters unknown to us in that troubled country under the darkness and oppression of Islam. And God's word to them is nothing less than a light in the darkness. And if they can read it in their own language, what a great advantage and blessing that is. It is a great work, translating the word of God. It is a great work to publish and to print the Bible and to broadcast it through the world. But that's not the limit of the meaning of this verse. Great was the company of those that published it, says the psalmist, and the word which he uses there has many meanings. It means to set forth, to demonstrate, to manifest the word of God. And yes, that is something that a society such as the TBS can do. It is a work that a local church can be involved upon, but also it is something which every one of us as individual Christians can be vitally engaged upon. Setting forth the word of God, demonstrating the word of God in our behavior, in our lives, in our words, is a vital part of our Christian witness and testimony. We are publishing the word of God when we follow James's exhortation and are doers of that word and not hearers only. We are publishing the word of God when we demonstrate our love for him by doing those things which he says. We are doing it when we allow the word of God to dwell in us richly. You know, we're even doing it now as we've assembled in this place for biblical fellowship, to give attendance to God's word, to allow ourselves to be conformed to it, our behavior to be modified and directed by it. We're doing it at this moment, and I trust that these meetings will only be the start, and that as we hear and receive God's word today, we will go on in the course of this week, indeed in the course of our lives, to put it into practice and to live in the good of it. You see, the Lord has given the word. it's a great thing to put it into practice, to publish it by every way possible. Great is the company of them that publish it, says the Word of God. But perhaps you think, well, here's a problem. Because I'm trying to do those things. I'm trying to set forth the Word of God in a practical way myself. And I don't feel very great. And we can look around this congregation. And for us, at least, it's the largest congregation we've seen since 12 months ago. But even so, numerically, we're not very great, are we? We're not a massive multitude. And yet the psalmist tells us the inspired word of God says that great is the company of them that publish the word of God. What are we to understand then? What does it mean? Well, let us realize this, that we are not alone. We are not alone in loving the word of God and living by it and publicizing it. We are part of something much, much greater. Something greater than perhaps we even begin to imagine. Oh, we might be one local church. We might be one local congregation here this afternoon, but we are part of something much greater, the church or on earth in every place. And not only that, but the church universal, both on earth and in heaven. My friends, do you realize that as we praise God this evening, as we consider his word this evening, as we worship him now, we are joining with the spirits of just men made perfect. We are assembling ourselves here. We are with that company which is in heavenly Jerusalem, the Mount Zion which is above. We are sharing a part with the sinless angelic host on high as we sound forth God's praises, as we praise this word which he has magnified above all his name. Oh, don't use sight, my friend, use faith. Don't look only on earth, look to heaven. Great is the company of them that publish the word of God. And my friends, it's great in this sense too. It's great in the eyes of God. Oh, we know that the world have their heroes and heroines, the world have their celebrities. They have those institutions of which they make such a great deal, which they praise and adulate and follow. But in the sight of God, these things are nothing. These things are transient and temporal and sinful. But those that publish his word, those that praise and magnify his word, oh, how precious in the sight of God, how vital to him. My friends, we are doing something wonderful this evening. We are doing something which the world does not even begin to conceive of or understand. We are glorifying God and his word. And there is nothing better, nothing greater than we could be doing. The hymn writer put it like this. He said, I would not breathe for worldly joy or to increase my worldly good, nor future days or powers employ to spread a sounding name abroad. 'Tis to my Saviour I would live, to him or for my ransom died, nor could untainted Eden give such bliss as blossoms at his side. We are not setting forth a sounding name, empty tenets, failed truths and doctrines. We are setting forth the word of God. And though you may not realize it, friend, or think it at the moment, we will be great. We will be exalted, we will be glorified above what it is possible for thought to conceive. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, even save men and women such as ourselves, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. This word which we preach, this word which we practice, this word which we look forward to hearing again in a few moments, my friends, this is our course to greatness. This is that lamp to our feet and light to our path which will lead us to glory and to God. High is the rank we now possess, but higher we shall rise, though what we shall hereafter be is hid from mortal eyes. Our souls, we know, when he appears, shall bear his image bright, for all his glory, full disclosed, shall open to our sight. the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. Might we count ourselves among that number this evening for God's glory. Amen.
Amen.
Let's draw nigh now to the throne of our God in prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And we praise and bless thee to think that as we pray, we may take thy great and glorious and holy name upon our lips, that we may call thee Lord, testifying to thy omnipotence and thy dominion, that we might call thee God, talking of thine eternity and thine immutability, that we might call thee Jehovah, the great and everlasting I am. To think, Lord, that we who are of this earth, we who are so benighted with sin and the darkness of this world, should take the name of God upon our lips, so contrary to nature, so contrary to expectation. Lord, it is nothing short of marvellous. And it is a marvellous name. We thank thee that as often as we call upon thee, we are confessing the greatness of thy person and thine attributes. Lord God, we praise thee for who and what thou art. We thank thee for the revelation which thou hast given us of thyself in the scriptures and for what we have been taught of thee by the power of thy Holy Spirit. But Lord God, perhaps among all thy names, we rejoice in this most of all, that we should call thee Father. My God, my Father, blissful name, how blessed to call thee mine and with a sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. That thou, Lord God, who art high above thought, whose thoughts and ways are so far above our thoughts and our ways, that thou shouldest be pleased to be called our Father. And Lord God, not by any presumption on our part, not that we overstep the mark or misread thy character in this. We have not made ourselves, have not made thee our Father, thou hast made us thy children. Lord God, thine is the transforming work. Thine is that spirit of adoption breathed into our hearts whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Lord God, it is thy regenerative power which has given us new birth and caused us to be born again into the family that is named in Jesus Christ. Lord God, the work is thine. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So, our Father, we praise thee for thyself, for thy person, for thy work in time and in eternity. We glorify and magnify thy name. But, Lord, we consider also that verse where we read that thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Lord, help us to know what that truly means. Help us to cultivate within our hearts an ever higher estimation of thy word, the Holy Scriptures. Lord, we fear that, alas, it is so often not the case with us. We do not have for thy word that hunger and thirst which we ought. We do not have those appetites and cravings after thy truth. We do not consider it more than our necessary food when we should. For, Lord, our souls cannot survive without this heavenly manna. Lord, we pray that it might be our continual delight, that thou might stimulate within our hearts such emotions as the psalmist had, as he magnified and praised thy word. Lord, give us such a sense, we pray thee. Lord, as often as we turn to thy word, let us consider it to be a treasure trove that we open there to find inestimable riches. And Lord, give us greater joy, greater anticipation, greater engagement in the preaching of thy word. Lord, thou hast given us opportunity again tonight to hear it sounded forth. Thou hast graciously provided our brother to minister it unto us. Lord, let us not waste this opportunity. Let not the devil get a foothold and distract our minds from these things and to invade our thoughts. But let us be able to focus wholly upon these things. Let us redeem this brief moment of time. Let us sanctify it in our hearts. Lord God, we pray, unstop our ears, stir up our sluggish mind, break up the fallow and hard ground of our hearts, that it might receive that seed of truth. Lord, we thank thee for our brother here to minister today. We thank thee for his work and labours for thee. Thou knowest the size of them. Lord, we do ask for that congregation in Cheltenham which he pastors, that they might be kept in the hollow of thy hand, that thou mightest go on to lead them into all truth. Lord, we pray that thou wilt make them ready and able hearers of the word, and in due time doers of that word also. Lord, we pray that thou wilt help him also in this vital work of translation in which he is engaged. Lord, thou alone knowest the magnitude of the need there in that land of Iran. Thou knowest them that are thine. Lord, let them not go hungry. Let them not want for the food of thy word. But we pray that by thy gracious intervention and through such human instrumentality as is in thy hand, thou wilt get thy word to them, that it might be their succour and their support. And Lord, as we think upon something of the troubles and the trials which beset thy people in that country and others like it, we are humbled to think of the liberty which we so regularly squander. Lord, we are embarrassed to think of the ease which we have in our Christian life and experience. Lord, we fear that we are so prone to become lazy and apathetic Christians with no spiritual stamina. Lord, let it not be so. Lord, give us steadfastness, give us strength, build us up in the inner man, we pray thee. Let us not be partial Christians, let us not be half-hearted Christians, but cause us to grow to the stature of the man, cause us to grow up into all things in Christ. Let him be ever before us. Let his be the footsteps in which we walk. Let his be the example which we follow. Let his be the lead which is ever our guide. Lord, we thank thee for the way in which he was set forth in this afternoon's sermon. We glory in that truth, that we should be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Lord, our hearts are hungry for more. We pray that we might be blessed to hear it this evening. Lord, we pray for the congregations which we represent and to which many will return tomorrow. We thank thee that thou hast not left thyself without witness, even in these dark and evil days. And we do pray for each cause of truth which continues to maintain the standard for thee in the wreck of this present battlefield. Lord, we ask that thou wilt strengthen those things that remain, that thou wilt grant to each one of the local concerns here represented a purity and holiness. Lord, make them a candlestick of thine in very truth, burnished and golden, a fit receptacle for the light of truth which thou dost give us to bear. Lord, we pray for such influence as we are unable to have on those around us. Forgive us for our sinfulness and failure in this. But Lord, use every word we are able to speak, every example which we are able to give, every part of thy word which we are able to send forth and to broadcast. Lord, let it be used of thee to great effect. For Lord, we desire to see a sinner saved, the arm of thy strength revealed. We desire to see thy kingdom come. We desire to see those living stones hewn from the quarry of this world and built up into that holy temple unto thee. Lord God, thine is the power, thine is the prerogative. Be pleased to do it even in these our days. Lord, we ask then that in all these things glory might be gotten unto thy name. Lord, that is thy purpose for us. That is the reason why thou dost leave us yet upon this earth. That is why thou dost continue to extend this day of grace and opportunity, in order that thy name might be glorified and thy purposes accomplished in us and through us. Lord God, let it be so, we pray thee. Lord, we confess, who is sufficient for these things? But with joy conclude, our sufficiency is of God. We do not merit thy favour. We have not deserved thy patient hearing of us. But Lord, we conclude these our prayers by pleading that name which is above every name, that name which thou canst not refuse, the name of that wonderful counsel, that mighty God, that Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
At this point in the service, then, it is my pleasure to hand over to Puyan Mashahi. Thank you.
Well, let us turn to the Word of God, to Psalm number 2. And once more, I would like to thank you for your words of welcome. It is a joy to be amongst you, God's people. It's a great privilege. And I bring you greetings again as well from Providence Chapel in Cheltenham, to which the Lord has sent me. Let us read God's Word, Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now sing together hymn number 673. Based on Psalm 40. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear.
Patiently did bear at
Let us turn to the Word of God again, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to read once more the verses beginning from verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Let us read God's Word. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We have been looking at verse 37 as our text, thinking about the subject of the saints being more than conquerors. For the apostle here, he puts forward a statement and then expands on it by saying, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In the last session, we looked at two things. The Christian conqueror, who is he? What is it that he is conquering? What are his enemies? And also, we saw what it means to be more than conqueror. Now, what I want to do in this session is to look at and deal with the ground of our conquest and then apply all the things that we have been looking at, apply it and see what it means to our own lives. What should we take home with us? So the first thing that I want you to note is the ground of our conquest, the ground of our victory. Why are we victorious? Why shall we be victorious? It is because of the love of Christ. Not only Christ himself, but he gives us the victory through the channel of his love. Friends, I trust you have realized, and our text clearly points out, that it is through Christ that we are more than conquerors, not through the church, not through ministers, not through books, through Christ alone. How? Through him that loved us, he says. Through him that loved us. And this final clause, it should cause us to think about certain issues. Through him that loved us. What does it mean? First of all, it should humble the believer. It must humble us to think that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We believers cannot boast in ourselves. Oh, what an evil thing it is, pride. The Puritans used to say, it's the last clothing that we will put off before we fall into the grave. It is the last thing. It's the first one that we put on. It's the last one that we cast away. To be self-confident. That's the beginning of the end. For individuals and for a local church. This text affirms that we can only pass through our valleys, the days of darkness through which God has led us and God has brought us. We can only pass through them by the love of Jesus Christ, by his power and by his strength, which comes through his love. So Paul says, thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the apostle, he recalls to Timothy and says, no man stood with me. No man. When I needed them, no man stood with me. And you can think about it as well in your own life. As ministers of the gospel, as there are some here, we often think, in certain situations, no man stood with me. But he says, nevertheless. Oh, how easy it is to keep thinking about all the things about ourselves. No man stood with me. With me. But Paul says, no, I can't think of myself. Nevertheless, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. The Lord stood and strengthened. That's why I'm here. That's why you are here. You need strength in your situation, and it is only through Christ that you can do all things. Our failures comes not through Christ, but through us. All our victories come through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through us. The apostle says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, he says. The grace of God which was with me. He says, not I. I didn't come through. I couldn't have come through. The grace of God. Encourage yourself, dear believer. Oh, so many like Peter. When all is well, all is going well, then it is that we are boastful of how will we act and in a certain situation, how we will do this and we will do that. And my friend, that is dangerous. To prevent this self-confidence, the Lord has a pocket full of thorns, and he then gives us the thorns. That's exactly what he did with Paul, so that he might not boast in himself, realizing he has nothing, but Christ is everything. And that's what the Lord has. The Lord hasn't finished with his thorns. He has them enough for us. He has all kinds at different times. And so he gives us our thorns. It humbles us to think that Christ should love us. But then again, this conquering is attributed to the love of Christ. Love is the thing that moves Christ. It has always moved Christ to make us conquerors and more than conquerors. Love was the thing that made him to take even our nature, the incarnation of Christ, him coming into this world, God being manifested in the flesh. That's the love of Christ. Though he was rich, the apostle says, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. That is love. Love. No one else has become poor for us, except our parents. But why did they? Why did they spend money on us? Because of love. That's why. He, through his poverty, that is him coming as God, taking unto him something that he was never before, taking unto him humanity. And he will never leave that. Christ remains to be joined to his humanity. Though he was in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yet he took upon him the form of a servant and made himself of no reputation. It was love that moved the Lord Jesus to marry our human nature. For divinity to be married to humanity, it needs eternal love. It was the lowest, the basest of humiliations on his part, and the opposite of it to us. Out of love, he was born. Out of love, he lived and ministered. Out of love, he died. Out of love, he was put in the tomb. Out of love, he rose again. Out of love, he was exalted. Out of love, he makes intercession for us. Out of love, he will come for us. Out of love, he will put all his enemies and our enemies under his footstool. All out of love. Out of love, we shall be more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. What is it saying? It is saying that there is power in his love. It is saying that there is efficacy in his love. Through him that loved us, there is power in that. It is through that power of his love that he causes us to conquer, to be victorious. His love, you see, is as strong as death. Through his love, all the curses of the law of God are nullified, because he was made a curse for us. He conquered the wrath of God for us, all out of love. His love conquers our guilt, our crime. And so Jesus, he takes us then. He takes us with all our ugliness, with all our guilt, with all our sins, with all that he knew that we would do, yet he takes us. All of love. And that causes us to conquer. That causes us to be more than conquerors. His love, you see, it wins over our unwillingness to take him, and conquers our willingness to wander away from him. But his love takes us. What a love. How often we have wandered away from him. How often we have been unfaithful to him, and yet he has been faithful to us. Through him that loved us. It is saying that Christ's love is the main thing that will help you to win the wars and the battles of your Christian life. Jesus' love, you see, it bought for us weapons. Jesus' love, his bloodshedding, paid so that we might have certain weapons in this life. because he bought the grace of God at the price of his own blood, which is precious blood. And then by love, he puts on us those weapons on us, and he gives them to us. He says, use them. His love then comes to us. At times it comes to us and warns us, calls us, convicts us. His love comes and shows us we have not been using these weapons in our lives. He comes to us and takes and starts to rub out the rust from these weapons that he had purchased for us. He gives you the strength to use the gifts that he has given. The love of Christ is given to us. It given to us to He's given us three things to conquer sin and conquer afflictions. He gives us his example. He gives us his word, and he gives us his spirit. These are the three things that he gives us out of love. He gives us his example. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:20, Christ hath suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He suffered, and through that he leaves us an example that we should follow him, follow his steps, not just follow generally towards his direction. No, it says follow his steps. Have you ever tried to follow someone's steps? Have you ever tried in the sand to jump and follow someone else's step? It means you follow exactly in the same way. It means that you don't in any way deviate from his path. It means you will get to the person at the end. Because at the end, that path will lead. Suddenly, the person doesn't disappear. You'll get to that person. And so Christ, at the end of those footprints, there's a prize set for us. And so the apostle says in other places to run the race and see the prize. He has won before us. He has spoiled principalities and powers. He has made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. And he says to you, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he wants you to keep your eyes on him. He gives you his example, says, look at me, study me, keep your eyes on me. Look unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Consider him, he says, consider him that endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Are you weary and faint in your minds? I say to you, the reason is nothing to do with Christ, is our eyes. He's refocusing, seeing again. His victory makes for our victory when we follow his footsteps. He gives us his example as a gift. Here it is. Imagine if we didn't have a record of Jesus Christ. If we didn't have a record of his life, his ministry, his words, his commands. Imagine that. But out of love, he said, let there be in the volume of the book it is written of me. Then out of his love, he gives us his word. He gives us his word. Now thanks be to God, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, making known the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Deals with knowledge. making known to us, revealing to us. John says in his first letter, in chapter 2 of 1 John 14, he says, "Ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you." The word of God abiding. The word of God being given. And so the strength is received. That is in all the variety of what it says. What does the word of God say? It threatens. It gives us laws, instructions, and also it gives us myriads of promises out of love. Christ gives us the word which he uses to stop the mouths of men and devils. He gives us his sword and he says, "Use my sword. This, I used it myself. You use it too. It worked. When I was in trouble, you use it too." And so it's love that gives us his word. And also out of love to help us in the war of this life, Christ gives us his spirit. His spirit. He's given the spirit to us to live in us. In John, 1 John 4 and verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." It is by his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, that we are ourselves conquerors. And it is by the Spirit itself that we ourselves are conquered. Beginning, the Lord conquered us. And then he makes us to be conquerors when he indwells us. The fruit of the Spirit starts to show. The fruit of the Spirit start to be worked out in us. They grow in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of these things, they start to show. Because the Spirit is working. And it takes time for the Spirit to work. It comes from within. When you go to see a tree, when a farmer goes to an apple tree, how do you find the apples? Does somebody in the morning, first thing in the morning, go and stick the apples on it before anybody else see it?
No.
The apples come within, from within. The apples start appearing. The flower comes. Takes time. And for us, we cannot attach anything of the Spirit on ourselves. We cannot make ourselves spiritual or have these, the fruit of the Spirit. But the Spirit who indwells us, works in us, causes to be more than conquerors. All these grow in the believer which are of the Spirit. And by his strength, we are humbly but powerfully, we succeed. Through him that loved us, we are more than conquerors. Through him who has married us and is our lover because he has loved us, we are more than conquerors. Love is the thing that carries us. Oh, I remember good old Arthur Pink when people used to ask him, "How are you keeping?" He used to say, "I am not keeping. I am being kept. We are being kept." The love of Christ keeps us. The love of Christ is the vehicle in which we are carried through this life. It's not us, friends. Love of Christ, it takes out from us the pride. And under his banner we go, which is the banner is love. That is how we are more than conquerors. That is how we are victorious. It's from the beginning to the end, Christ alone, not us. some words of application, applying the truths of this text. First of all, friends, you've heard that a Christian is a soldier. His life is going to be from in this earthly place, from this place to his heavenly home. It is going to be a life of a soldier. We do not retire from it. We do not lay aside our task. While we go from this earth to heaven, we fight. It supposes a battle, I said to you. He says, we are more than conquerors. You cannot be a conqueror without a fight. There needs to be a fight. If any man will live godly in Christ, he must and shall suffer persecution. So you must make up your mind. Resolve to fight. And realize that there will be scratches, there will be pains, there will be blood, there will be toil, there will be blisters, there will be all kinds of things in this life, both friends and from foes as well. There will be a great toil in this world that we live in. That's how Christ was, the one who went before us. Our elder brother has entered, and he has the marks on him to show of how he fought. And he didn't fight for himself, for he laid down his own life, but he fought for us out of love. But we must toil. We must also battle. We are in his army now. The Puritans put it so well. The apples of paradise will not drop into our mouth without any toil or trouble or pain. And so our Lord tells us, your Lord tells you, straight is the gate that leadeth unto life. And so there must be a striving to enter in. It must be an earnest and pressing striving, or many shall seek it in a casual, go easy way to enter in and shall not be able. So my friends, resolve to fight in a godly way, in a gracious way, depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, we should always realize the dignity and the excellency of all true believers. Don't forget that. There is dignity and excellency in every soldier of Jesus Christ, however weak they may be, how many spots they may have, there is still dignity and excellency in them, not because of them, but because of the blood which was paid for them, and Christ who is their Lord. The world would look on them as it would look on us with hatred. They are nothing. We are nothing. The world thinks we can crush them these few weak Christians. And so they try in all kinds of ways, and Satan brings all kinds of people to crush and tread us. But we see the true believers in a different light. We see them with all the ugly things as well, but we must see them in a different light as well. They're a believer who are like, the believer is like a king. The believer is a prince. The believer has received now new blood. It's royal blood. He has been born from above. He cannot be conquered. He is invincible. Yes, we see each other in much pain. We may see the difficulties. We may see our slowness in grasping things. We see our own foolishness. But always remember, true believers are prized by Jesus Christ. Our end is perfect. Bonds and afflictions, Paul says, abide me, but yet none of these things move me. None of these things ought to move us, friends. Yes, some Christians are bound in all kinds of things, afflicted in all kinds of things, both theologically and practically and also in their own bodies. And we groan. And when we look at ourselves, but let none of these things move you, friends. See yourselves with other Christians as being in the same fight, using the same weapons, having the same captain. Therefore, friends, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, encourage one another in the Lord. Be gracious towards one another, mindful of one another. And when there are times that you must rebuke and strongly speak, may it be done with good and the edification of the saints out of the heart of love towards our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and towards His church. Saying the truth in love. But we are more than conquerors. Take it as a word of comfort to you. Let it encourage you. Let it sink down in your hearts. You are not standing by on your own strength. It's not your power. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who has been keeping you. We are conquerors through Him that loved us. We must mark it. It doesn't say, through Him whom we love. No. And that would be right. Through Him whom we love. But our victory is not because we love the Lord, but because He loves us. That is where we get our victory. Because He loves us. He receives all our crowns because He loves us. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto Thy name be all the glory, the psalmist says. Give glory to God always. Make it to be a testimony to others. How wonderful it is to receive a phone call from a nurse in a hospital asking, is it a normal thing for your people on their deathbed to be singing and praising and shouting? And we have to say, yes, it must be. It is normal. It should be normal. What a testimony that is. What a wonderful thing that is for a pastor to hear that his people on the final day of departure are singing and praising the Lord. What a testimony of the Lord's faithfulness. Never forget, dear believers, that the victory that you are to have over those sins that you know about. We don't know about, but you know about. The things that are easily besetting you. The things that are causing you to worry about your own salvation. Why do I do these things? Why do I think these things? Why do I say these things? And also then afflictions. Why do these things come my way? Why me? The hardships. Remember, friends, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends it to you. The hardships for your good. And you take those sins that are easily besetting you and argue with Him because of His love. Bring your petitions to Him because of His love. You base it on these words and say, Lord, because of Thy love, I bring these to Thee. By your strength, you will not win. Everything that we lose is because of our own strength. Everything that we win is because of Christ's strength. And so we must drag ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. What His love has done for us. And what it does for us. Nothing shall separate us, he says, from the love of Christ. Why? Because that love was like a glue. stuck Christ to us in such a way, he cannot, if he takes himself from us, he will rip part of us out, and he cannot do that. And we cannot take ourselves from him because he cannot be divided. The love of Jesus Christ is such a cement that builds his great temple. It is from his love that we are afflicted. It is from his love that he strengthens us and enables us to endure affliction. So do not quickly judge God's love by other things, by the things that you see. Do not judge God's love by the world's standards. The world judges God's love by the pleasures that it receives, the material things that they receive. But the love of Christ is best felt in the victory over our spiritual enemies, both within ourselves and without ourselves. That's where you find the love of God. That's where you ought to seek the love of God, in the victories. And so he wants you to see the love of the Son of God, and the path that he has taken for you. The path that you're going through has been carved by the Lord Jesus Christ out of his love. He has chosen it specifically for you. He didn't choose it for someone else, but he said, no, this is what I'm going to do for John. And he's poured his heart into it from eternity. He's thought in the council of eternity, this is what I will do for Peter. This is what I will do for Timothy. This is what I will do for so-and-so. I will be choosing them, these paths for them. And how wonderful it is. Out of them all, they shall be victorious. Oh, friends, do not feel defeated. Do not feel that the failures. Yes, we do fail. If we have done things in our own strength or with wrong motive, but not when Christ is working. Take all your defeats, take all your failures to the Lord and let him work through you into victory. The pagan philosophers, and I was reading in my study about the words of Aristotle. When he was dying, he said, I have lived in anxiety. I am dying in doubtfulness and know not where I am going. But you believers, you may be sure, because God has given you his word and he has given it with his oath as well. He has told you where you are going. He has told you how you will get there. And so you do not need to live and die in doubt at all. But he has told you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The love of Jesus Christ, you see, has closed us in with him. And from this, friends, we see that the proud and the evil persecutors who come and persecute us and our fellow brethren and sisters, the work they are doing is impossible. They are in the wrong business. They are doing the wrong things. They fight against the faithful servants and the people of God, but it's all in vain. They will finish with disgrace and shame. But God's people will finish with victory. They will be more than conquerors. You will be happy if you are in Christ. As you are a follower of the Lamb, going in his footsteps, you are listed under his banner. You may be taken or spoken of in the most hateful way and things done to you. But can tribulation and distress, can persecution or sword separate you from the love of Christ? No, never. So what are your duties? You who are soldiers of Jesus Christ, don't simply wish to be a conqueror, but a conqueror under Christ. In order to do this, be in order to do this, keep your eyes upon your general, your captain of your salvation. Obey his command. Do what he says as he calls you to march forward. When he says to you to be still and know that he is God, that he is in control, you be still. Listen to him. In fighting from Lord's Day to the last hour of Saturday evening, remember that you are in a fight with your lover beside you. Remember that you are in this great fight and your captain is there as well. He hasn't left you. In situations where you feel strong and can do things yourself, let him fight for you. Don't fight for yourself. Let him provide for you. Let him protect you. Oh, what a horrible thing it is not to fight for Jesus Christ. What a horrible thing it is to not to fight for Jesus Christ. It means we are not in his camp. It means that we are in another camp. It means that we are fighting a losing battle. It means that we are fighting on the wrong side. It means we are serving Satan, who will be doomed. What an awful thing it is, friends, for those who we see in our families, loved ones, in our churches, our neighbors who are fighting on the wrong side. Shouldn't it cause you to go to them, seek them out, and tell them lovingly about this? They ought to be in Christ's camp. What a horrible defeat they will have. Brothers and sisters, then I would say, carry on then. While Christ gives you the grace, let him carry you. Don't compromise for anything less. Don't trust yourself or anyone else. Trust in Christ. It will all be over so soon. His coming is at hand, the apostle says. It is hard. It's a hard thing. It is an impossible thing to open the book of your life. It has so many seals on it. But there is one person found who is worthy to open that book for you. Let him open it. The Lamb of life. The Lamb of God. He is the worthy Son of God. We are more than conquerors, you see, through him that loved us. And so he will continue to love us. But let us carry on in the path that he has set for us and looking unto him. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen. Let us sing together the final hymn, hymn number 157. 157, with harps and with viols, there stand the great throng in the presence of Jesus and sing this new song. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be glory, the glory forever. Amen.
With viols there stand a great throng.
Gracious God, we ever thank Thee and praise Thee for loving us. The love of God, we cannot understand it. Lord, we wouldn't give our own children for someone else, but that is to have just one Son, Thine only begotten, and Thou art willing to give Him for us. Enemies of God, joined to Satan, O Lord, depraved through and through, but now we have been made the sons of God. We have been made priests. We have been made princes. We shall have crowns. But, O Lord, may we ever cast our crowns before the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, save us from ourselves, we pray. Save us from self-dependence. Save us, O God, from the things our own foolishness. Lord, fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to be distracted from that one thing that is needful. And, O gracious God, we thank Thee that Thy love will carry us. We are sure of this. We are sure of the victory. Christ has already bought it for us. It is true, it will happen. And praise God, we shall one day be with that great host of heaven, praising the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the world. Bless us, O God. Keep us looking and faithful and fighting and pursuing and running and walking in Thy ways. Bless the food that has been provided. Bless, O Lord, our time together. Bless each assembly represented here. O Lord, may Thy glory be seen in Thy church. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.